Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Greg Jackson, assistant sports editor at the News Tribune. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Gary.
So, Greg, typically during the spring, the sports desk is just humming with activity.
It usually is.
Yes.
But not this spring.
What?
I know.
So, in a typical season, kind of refresh our listeners' memories here. A typical season in high school sports, what kind of sports are playing?
Around the Jefferson City area, you have baseball, you have boys' golf, you've got girls' soccer, you have boys' tennis, and you also have track and field. And also in Missouri, in some parts of the state, you also have spring girls' softball, which started in the past 5 to 6 years. Collegiately, we also cover Lincoln has a softball team that plays in the spring. Lincoln also has a track and field team. They've also got men's and women's golf teams. So it's a time where we're just really busy because most of these schools have multiple sports, and you've got, especially track gets really busy around this time of year.
And we have for listeners, I would share with them, we have four very hardworking sports reporters here who are they will typically, during the spring, they'll be covering a game, come back, write the stories, design the pages, some of them to shoot photos. I mean, it is a crazy time of year, usually.
Right. And on top of that, while we don't really go to track meets during the regular season, we still do our best to get the results from every one of them in there. A lot of them are on various websites, and it takes a lot of time typing up that agate. So while we don't go to track and field events, those tend to keep us the busiest as well.
All right. So that's the typical year, but then this year, it's not the typical year.
It is not. With coronavirus coming out, it just really... Everything came to a dead halt, and really, it's hard to believe it's already been a month since this has happened, but a lot of this goes back to Wednesday, March 11th, when NBA player Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus. I think that was the red flag that went up and started a lot of these sporting events, suspending their leagues, suspending their seasons, maybe even canceling the season or canceling events. And I think at that time, everything was going on as planned. And then this one person gets coronavirus, and suddenly you think, oh my gosh, these athletes are around a lot of people. It's easy to spread this disease. And that's why everybody, all these leagues had to take swift action and cancel games. And that trickled down to college. And now that's trickled down to high school. And as we heard last week, the Missouri State High School Activities Association, and from now on I'll refer to them as MISHA, canceled the 2020 Spring Sports Championships, which in turn also canceled the regular season as well.
All right. So now let's go back to the March 16th?
March 11th. Yes.
March 11th. During that time, where were we in the high school seasons?
In the high school season, we were in... There were two seasons going on. You had winter sports still going on. Mm-hmm. That was the week of the Class 1, 2, and 3 basketball Final Four. And it was the week of Class 4 and 5 sectionals and quarterfinals. And their Final Four was going to be the following week. On the spring side, while their regular seasons hadn't begun, they were currently in week 2 of preseason practice. And their seasons were slated to begin the following week. I remember we were sitting at the sports desk and news came of Rudy Gobert testing positive for coronavirus. And we got together as a sports staff. We said we need to come up with contingency plans because at that time I was supposed to go down to Springfield the next day to cover the St. Elizabeth boys basketball team. And we had to prepare for a number of different scenarios. What happens if they cancel it altogether? What happens if it goes on as planned? What happens if the games go on, but there are restrictions, and we had to prepare for a lot of things because I was set to leave at like 2 o'clock that next day. And what MISHA decided to do for the Class 1 through 3 Final Four, the games went on as planned, but each team was only allowed to bring 150 fans. Mm. which JQH Arena, where the games were being played at in Springfield, that arena seats about 11,000, 11,500.
Wow.
And it was a place that when I got there, there might have been, when you count all the staff and everybody in there, there might have been only 500 to 600 people in a huge arena going on.
Mm. So then what happened the following weekend with the larger classes?
Well, while I was down in Springfield, I stayed down there because the Elias boys basketball team played their Class 4 quarterfinal at Bolivar. And if that sounds weird about 500 people being in an arena that big, I went up to Bolivar to cover that game, and they were playing Webb City, and teams were only allowed to bring 60 people total each, and that includes players and coaches. So once you take out players and coaches, that meant really only parents could come along
right.
with them. I mean, cheerleaders couldn't come. I remember I talked to the Elias basketball coach, Joe Rothweiler, and he said we were debating whether or not to bring an athletic trainer along with us because we weren't sure. I mean, we probably need an athletic trainer, but is there somebody that perhaps ranks higher that needs to watch that play, like a parent or whatnot? Maybe a school administrator needs to come and you know, be there to represent the school. That gym probably seats about 2,000, 2,500, and there's only about 150 people total in there. So it got really quiet at certain parts of the game where you'd have people getting really pumped up and really energized.
Yeah. It had to be a very surreal feeling there in that spacious gym and just a few hundred people.
It was. The one thing that did surprise me, going back to JQH Arena, while there are only about 500 or 600 people in there, and there couldn't be more, so once a game ended, all those fans had to file out before the next game's fans could even start to file in, so there's never really more than that. I was impressed at how loud it still got in there. I mean, I had a hard time telling that there were only 5 people. It sounded like there were 4,000 people in there. But, again, it was kind of a surreal experience because you look around and you see a lot of empty seats, and this just seems so unusual. I think one coach told me it resembled, like, a summer league game where kids compete during the offseason against other teams, and there's not really a whole lot of fans watching it. They're like, there's just more at stake with this game.
Right.
But we knew this was getting to be serious because I remember when I was at the Elias game, there was a sports writer next to me, and she kept constantly, you know, using Germex or just rubbing her hands. And I'm sitting here thinking, all right, if this is what it's like now, I'm curious as to what it's going to be like in a week. And I imagine we're getting ready to talk next about what it was like in a week.
We are. So at that point, as you had mentioned, some of the schools had begun spring practices. Mm-hmm. The seasons do overlap there.
Right. Misha had to make a tough decision. They were receiving a lot of criticism after the Class 1 through 3 Final Four because the following day they said we're planning on going on with Class 4 and 5 Final Four. So Elias, I mean, those kids were really pumped up. They thought they were going to get to finish their season just like the schools, the smaller schools. But Misha had to come down and make the hard decision on, let's see, that would have been Monday, March 16th. And they said we have to cancel the rest of the winter sports season. And along with that date, they made the announcement regarding spring sports. And they said, if your on-campus school is in session, you have the ability to practice and you have the ability to play games. If you are canceling on-campus classes as a result of coronavirus, you can't practice and you can't have games. So at that point, we're now having to see what individual schools are doing. You know, are they in session? Because if they're not in session, they can't practice, they can't play. And it carried on and carried on. And of course, the final shoe really dropped when Governor Parson announced on last Thursday, April 9th, when he said on-campus classes for the rest of the school year are canceled, which basically meant regular season was canceled. So at that point, Misha was kind of forced to come out with the statement a couple hours later and saying, hey, with that in mind, spring sports championships also have to be canceled as well.
All right. So to your point, previous to that, the schools had – it was kind of a rolling calendar there. Some of them opted out, mm-hmm. went home early, then some were still going, holding classes on campus.
Right.
So at that point, though, there was some hope that before this events of last week, that Misha would somehow put together a season, maybe beginning a district play.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember, I want to say it was about a period of a week and a half or so that schools, the soonest they could come back was May 4th, and that's really around the time of the end of the regular season, and we're almost getting ready to start postseason in some sports. And if it was going to happen, I don't know what the schedules would have looked like. Do you play what games are currently on there? What games do you try to get in? Because one of our thoughts were, it's really hard to jump into postseason because, yes, while everybody's on the same playing field, it's also an unlevel playing field because the small schools, you don't know who has an unfair advantage or, I mean, what these kids have been doing to stay in shape during this time. And that's something you also talk about the professional leagues. They're like, once these stay-at-home bans are lifted, we can't go play immediately. Like, it takes a lot of training to get ready for these games.
Right.
And team sports, I mean, with these stay-at-home orders, you can't train as a team. Golf would be one thing because you can go outside and swing a club and practice that way. But, I mean, you know, baseball, for example, is a tough one. You can go out and play catch, but there's not really a whole lot you could do with the team aspect of that sport. So it would have been really tough, even if schools came back May 4th, they would have had to push postseason back if they were going to have anything at all. I don't see how they would have gone on as scheduled on those specific dates.
Yeah. But as you say, it became a moot point because the governor basically canceled classes on campus for the rest of the school year. So obviously sports play an incredible role in communities, in young students' lives. So let's kind of look at what kind of effect this has on the students. The loss of a senior season, for instance. Kind of walk through what your take on that is.
Well, the tough, and this is, for people listening to this podcast, I'll be writing my column in the News Tribune Sports section. I'll be coming out on Sunday, and it'll be touching. I won't try to give too much away now, but there'll be, I touched on some of these aspects. Because I also cover Lincoln University sports, and the NCAA made the announcement that if you're a college student athlete and you're playing a spring sport, we are giving you an extra year of eligibility to play that sport. So if you had a plan where you're planning to go to college for 4 years, you might try to stretch it out to 5 years now so you take advantage of that extra year of eligibility. You can't do that in high school.
No.
I mean, there's no master's plan for a high school graduate, and there's no way you could really stretch out a four-year education to 5 years in high school. So unfortunately, these high school athletes are losing that year of eligibility. And it's really rough for these seniors because, yes, some of them are going to go on and play in college sports next year, but some of them aren't, and this was their last chance, and it's really unfortunate. You feel bad for these kids because this is something that's out of their control, and I think that's the hardest thing. Don't get me wrong, I think these high school athletes understand the severity of coronavirus and the effects it's having on our country. But it's okay to be it's okay to be sad or frustrated about multiple things. And while they're upset at what the effect is having on the country, some of them, for a brief moment, were probably upset at losing their senior season. But they also understand, hey, this is for the greater good. This is like one of the comments I made in my column. If closing off sports saves even one life, or if it helps in the stay-at-home order one day earlier, it'll all be worth it. And I like that some of these area schools are doing the Be the Light on Friday nights, where it's, I think it's 8:20, military time 2020, and they turn on the lights at their stadiums and they do a parade of cars and honk their horns to honor these senior athletes who don't get a senior night, don't get a last season. I think that's great that a lot of these schools are stepping up to do that.
Yeah. So from a community standpoint, the schools often define a community. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they wrap themselves in the school colors. They're there in the stands, whether they have kids on that team or whatever. The community becomes part of the story. So we were talking a night or so ago about some of the stories that really were unusual for Central Missouri. For instance, you were talking about some of the baseball teams this season. They were building upon a legacy of previous years.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of share some of that. I mean, there was a lot invested in the spring season.
There was. We were very busy at the baseball Final Four last year. We had four area teams that all made it. You had the Hayes Crusaders, the Blair Oaks Falcons, the Fatima Comets, and the St. Elizabeth Hornets. Blair Oaks and St. Elizabeth both won state championships. Fatima was a runner-up. They lost to Blair Oaks in the title game. And Helias tied for third place in Class 4. And there, when you have seasons like that, yeah, you want to celebrate what's happened in the present, but you're also looking forward to the future. Like, oh, if we could do this now, you know, think of what we could do next year. And, right. you know, unfortunately, Blair Oaks won't get the opportunity to repeat as state champion. St. Elizabeth had a really good team coming back. They had almost everybody back, and they don't get that opportunity. They lose out, and a lot of those kids are going to graduate, and they won't get another chance. So it's rather unfortunate because they, as you mentioned, there is that legacy. You want, when you get to the Final Four once and get to experience that feeling, you just, your immediate thought is, I want to go back. I want to go back. And you have to wait a year. And they, I mean, now they're going to have to wait 2 years if they want to have a shot to go back. And I mean, that guy is such a long time, you know, to keep that positive mentality going, to work that hard when there's that gap of the spring of 2020, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think it bears mentioning of this, again, I think your column is going to make a great point of, as you say, if you save one life, it's well worth it. However, don't minimize the loss of some of these kids mm-hmm. who, that's been their whole career, you know, their career to this point. And, you know, there is a level of sacrifice they have made that we as a community should recognize, and the way that the school districts and the communities are putting on these events, as you mentioned, certainly is a step in that direction.
Right. And that's just the thing. The uncertainty of what's gone on the past month is, you know, how do coaches stay in contact with their players? Because, again, I mean, these kids also have schoolwork to do sure. while they're at home, and you don't want to disrupt that. That's obviously a priority. I know some coaches came up with workouts. Obviously, it had to be voluntary. It couldn't be mandatory. But it's like, hey, these are some things you could do at home to work on your game. Regardless of sports, which sport it is, there's certain things you could do. You know, like you could practice, you could swing at a ball off a tee for baseball. You could, you know, go in the backyard with your golf clubs for golf, tennis, you know, same thing. Track, you know, just, you know, work, keep your endurance up, just stay in shape, just keep running on a regular basis. You know, soccer, same thing, keep that endurance up. So it really got to that point where I think coaches, one day you're practicing with your team at the field, and the next day it's like, okay, we got to come up with something these kids can do at home, because you never know when we're going to be able to return to school. And when they return to school, we need them to be as close into whatever shape it was when they first left to go home, because the season could start the very next day.
Right, right. So circling back on the community aspect there, one thing you'd mentioned to me, and I hadn't thought about, state track, being home here in Jefferson City, mm-hmm. It's taken a hit the last couple of years.
It has. You know, state track has been here in Jefferson City since the late 70s. It started at Dwight T. Reed Stadium at Lincoln University, and now it's at Atkins Stadium at Jefferson City High School. We were talking about last spring, you know, the Class 1 and 2 state track championships were here. And then the tornado hit the Thursday before, or the Wednesday, late Wednesday night before the Class 3, 4, and 5 state track and field championships. And those had to be moved to different locations. Two of them went to Columbia, one went to Washington, Missouri. And not only that, I mean, it's great to showcase these local athletes on the big stage here in Jeff City, but economically, it also took an impact. I remember talking to one coach from a small school around Springfield, and he said the first thing they had to do when they woke up Thursday was cancel their hotel reservations. Because you think about it, these teams, if they're traveling a great distance, they're going to spend two nights here.
Right.
And he said when he picked up the phone to call the hotel, the first thing wasn't, you know, this is such and such from a certain hotel. The first word out of their mouth was cancellation. Because that morning they had been taking nonstop cancellation phone calls from teams that were coming up there for state track. So the hotel businesses really took a hit mm-hmm. with that. You have these athletes who are going to eat after
right.
State track, so the restaurants hit. I mean, shopping, whatnot. It really took a hit last year. And unfortunately, it's going to take a hit this year with them canceling it. And it was great to see all these people come in. And it was a great opportunity to showcase Jefferson City And now we're going to have to wait until 2021 to do it again for state track.
Yeah. So you had mentioned the last break in state track competitions was...
goes back to when it first started, which was back in 1926, I believe. And it's just weird. Like, no stoppages during any of the war, like World War II or anything like that. It's just... you know, you really sit there and this thing almost went continuously for 100 years without anything having to be canceled or whatnot. It just shows you how serious this coronavirus really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's circle back and let's talk about the aspect of these seniors, who are graduating. Some of them will play at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
What effect, let's go a little bit deeper into what the colleges are facing as far as scholarships and how they are going to be able to know anything about these seniors who didn't actually get to play in a spring sport.
Right. For your Division I, for your high-level competition, a lot of these kids signed in the early periods back in November or February. So these coaches were already... already had them signed up, already had them squared away for the next year. But your smaller schools kind of wait for those bigger schools to take their kids, and it's kind of a trickle-down effect. Okay, what's still available with me? What's still available to me? And a lot of them use this period and even early parts of the summer to sign kids, and they don't get that opportunity. So now you're talking to coaches who they're having to watch film from years past. Like, if it's a baseball player, they're having to watch film from the previous year. You're having kids who are having to help themselves. Like, a lot of these kids are taking this opportunity to put together highlight reels of themselves and send out to colleges. And there are college coaches who are asking high school athletic directors, hey, you have anybody who hasn't signed yet who is still looking, because, you know, we're still looking to fill scholarships. On the flip side, for example, as we talked about with these colleges getting at their student athletes an additional year, while they get that additional year, the NCAA isn't giving them additional scholarship money. Mm. They have to come up with that scholarship money on their own. So they're having to rework their budget or do some extra fundraising to provide that. So I'm beginning to wonder how that's going to affect college programs for the next 4 years, because you're going to have five levels. Because, again, this goes all, even if you were a freshman this year, you get a second chance at a freshman senior season next year. Now, some of these kids might go on ahead and graduate in 4 years, so not everyone, I want to make that a point, not everyone's going to take advantage of that additional year. But it's there for them if they want it. And that's where it's going to be really hard on these college coaches, is managing that budget of scholarships available to these athletes.
Right, right. There may be fewer available for those incoming So, yeah, it's a great point. Okay, so let's move on to fall.
Okay.
Put on your forecasting hat here, Greg. Right now, I know, exactly. We're in the middle of April. Before, you got about a month left of the school year, and then it'll be a quick summer. What's the prospects, do you think, of the effects of the pandemic on fall sports?
A lot of it is going to depend... I think it's going to come down to whether school's in session. Because I think you can make the argument, if school is in session, then that means they should be able to play. Because in athletics and in schools, you have a lot of people in a confined area. So in my mind, if it's okay for them to have class, then it's going to be okay for them to play, to practice sports, to play sports. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like for the summer. I imagine summer's going to be very tricky whenever this stay-at-home order is lifted. It's going to throw a wrench in a lot of people's plans, and they're going to have to make adjustments. High school-wise, like I said, I think that's going to be the case. If there is school, there will be games. When you talk about the college or professional level, and you got to remember, at these high school games, I mean, sometimes there's a couple hundred people, sometimes there's a couple thousand people. But when you get to these higher levels... I mean, there are some football games where as many as 110,000 fans are at a game in college, right, or football at 70,000. Those are a little bit different, because that's, you know, several thousand more people in a confined area. I think the prospects are better of high school sports happening in the fall than there are professional sports.
Hmm.
Basically, because you're at those higher levels, you're also talking plane travel, people going across the country. High school, I mean, you know – we're talking about in this fall, we're preparing for the first Jefferson City Helias football, varsity football game, where two schools within the same city are playing each other. You know, I want to be able to cover these games. I'm going to hold out hope. I want this fall sports season to happen. But as I mentioned earlier, I don't want it to compromise anyone's health or safety. I mean, health and safety is a much bigger priority than sports happening. Sure. We want them to happen, but we want to want them to happen in a safe environment. And at this point, we're taking our cue. Like, what is acceptable? What can we do? And I like I said, I think if school, my prediction is if school starts, if we have school in the fall, we will have high school games. Okay. And, you know, we're going to be sitting at the sports desk with our fingers crossed, hoping that, you know, the curve is much flatter at that point, and we're really going to keep our fingers crossed and hope that we have these games to write about and tell people the stories of what's going on.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to hope for. But before we leave this, I've got a real quick question from one Cardinal fan to another here. Mm-hmm. So what's the prospects of there being a Cardinal season this year? And what's it going to look like?
I think if they're going to have a season at all, it's going to be teams playing in either Arizona or Florida with no fans and attendance, or they're going to be playing at neutral sites. I don't, in 2020, I don't see them playing games with fans, with 50,000 fans watching the game. I don't see that happening, unfortunately. But I do think some abbreviated sort of the season. I don't know how many games, and I don't know what exactly will happen. I think a season will happen, just not in front of fans.
Yeah. Well, and listeners, this is our promise to you. We'll keep you tuned on this. I mean, obviously, we know Mid-Missouri is a hotbed for sports news, sports coverage, and whether it's professional, college, or high school. And so I'd encourage you to subscribe to the News Tribune and check out the great coverage that my sports staff puts out every day. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Gary. I appreciate it.
All right.
I want to share some of the ways that we're trying to cover the community's response to the COVID-19 threat. On our website, we've created some general announcement pages where cancellations and announcements from businesses and government are being listed. We're updating the site regularly through the day with information, both locally and regionally, as it comes into us. If you have a print subscription, I'd encourage you to activate your digital subscription so that you can stay up to date as we update our news report throughout the day. From a coverage standpoint, we've pulled all of our coronavirus stories from behind our paywall. We see that as a public service so that you can be engaged and make informed decisions for yourself and for your family. At times like this, information is vital to the public safety. To that end, our mission is to provide that information to you. For us, it's a 365-day mission. I'd encourage you to consider subscribing to the News Tribune to help us fulfill that mission. You're not only investing in your community newspaper, but in your community itself. As always, we do welcome your story ideas or questions. You can send them to news@newstribune.com. Be safe, be informed, and wash your hands.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.